and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Amen. And just like to welcome everybody back to another exciting episode of the Remnant Call. And I am your host, Brother Frank, and co-host, Brother Todd, is here with you tonight. Say hello to the world there, Brother Todd.
Hello, world.
Amen. And we are excited. We're back from Africa. And I'll tell you what, God is blessing. You know, it's so easy to sometimes just sit in church and say, well, praise God, hallelujah, you know, and just enjoy being fed by the pastor or whatever. But, you know, too often where churches are filled full of nothing but pew warmers. And so many people never step out of that comfort zone. And, you know, if you will never step out of the boat or you will never go into the stormy seas, then don't be surprised when Jesus never says, peace, be still. It's time to take risks, folks. We got to get out there, stretch out of our comfort zone, and then watch God bless. I know, Todd, this was your first time over to Africa, and you were blessed, weren't you, Todd, on this trip? There was something different about being up there around the people in your experience with God.
Yes, there sure is something different about being around a bunch of people who have a strong faith and a strong ties to their community. These people don't have the distractions we do, and you know, they're extremely grateful people.
I remember that you said something interesting. We were up in the mountains there in Tanzania in the South Pare Mountains, and you said you could literally feel God's presence there.
Yeah, literally. Like, it was a presence that you couldn't deny. When you were praying in the name of Jesus, you knew whatever you were praying for was going to be answered one way or another in a way that you don't necessarily expect it to be answered. God always answers prayer no matter where you are. But what I'm saying is that, for example, Frank anointed a guy out there, and I just knew within my heart of hearts, no question, no doubt about it, that his body was healed from that point on. It had nothing to do with the oil. It had nothing to do with our presence. It had everything to do with the faith that it takes for God to render his healing power.
Amen. You know, God is moving, and I tell you, he's calling us to a mission work and to get out there and to reach the people. So, folks, please, you can sit in church and say hallelujah, you know, until Jesus comes, but that would certainly be a waste of a person and a waste of a space if all you did was just sit there. And I want to encourage you, ask God how you can be his feet. How can you be his hand? The world is dying, and we need preachers out there. We need people that can reach a dying world, someone who can care about somebody. And they've done studies and they found still the best way to reach people, it's one-on-one relationship. And if you're not going to get out there, well, God will find somebody who will. So folks, it's time to be about our Father's business. And I am excited about tonight's program because we've got somebody coming on here that is about the Father's business. His name is Pastor Carl Gallitz. We've had him on before. You know him. He's the senior pastor of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida since 1987. Pastor Carl has been at it for a while. He's an Amazon top 60 best-selling author and a conservative talk radio show host, and he is a nationally and internationally since 2002. He's also been on many TV programs, radio, all over, print media. He also guest writes sometimes for WorldNet Daily. Pastor Carl has been all over the place. He's also opened up prayer even for our current President Donald Trump in a rally in Pensacola, Florida, before he was even the president. And so Pastor Carl has been out there and sharing this good news and watching God do that. Now, on top of this, Pastor Carl's not your ordinary pastor. He didn't start out in ministry. He was actually a police officer for many years, and he was also a part of Sheriff Joe Aparo's recent special cold case posse, and they brought Pastor Carl in as some for accountability and things like that. So he gets around, but the good news is Pastor Carl is concerned about Jesus and about sharing this good news. Now, he's written many books, and his most current book right now is called When the Lion Roars. He's also wrote about the Magic Man in the Sky, the Rabbi Who Found the Messiah, and many, many more books. And we are just excited to have Pastor Carl on here. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring Pastor Carl into the program. Pastor Carl, are you there with us tonight?
I am, Brother Frank. Pastor Frank, Brother Todd, thank you guys so much for having me on. It's good to be back with you.
Oh, praise,
good to have you, man.
Praise God. We are excited, Pastor. You know, we've been in Africa, and I'll tell you, it's so nice to unplug from this world for a moment and just get back to raw ministry.
Yeah, I know. I do a lot of missions work myself, and I'm usually down in South America. Me, personally, we do have teams from our church that go over into Africa and several different nations, Ghana and, the other name escapes me just last year. But anyway, yeah, I'm in South America a lot, in Peru, and I know what you mean. It's a whole different world, different attitudes, different cultural customs, and I enjoy it. But you know, it's work, it's ministry. I mean, Satan is alive and well there as well, huh?
He is. And you know what the amazing thing is, though, is Pastor Carl, you know, as a believer, the greatest joy that you can see is, in my opinion, and I'm sure you feel the same, is seeing that person come in and give their life to Christ in all the way into the waters of baptism. I don't know if there's a better feeling in ministry than seeing someone come to Jesus. And when you go to these third world countries where they're hungry for the gospel, I think everybody needs to go on a mission trip outside of the United States just so they can get fired up to come back and do missions work here.
Yes, no, I agree completely. It is life-changing, and you're absolutely right. There's nothing in the United States or outside the United States. There's nothing that is more exhilarating than to know that God has used you as an instrument to touch somebody's life for eternity. And all of the ramifications of that, I mean, good gosh, you know, the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him. Well, what does that mean? Well, we get an idea of it from the scriptures, but what does it really mean for all of eternity? And those that we have been used to bring into the kingdom with us, I mean, you know, those relationships will go on forever and ever. I mean, it's mind-boggling to think about, guys.
I agree wholeheartedly, and you know, this is the time, you know, Pastor Carl, right before Jesus went to the cross, his final hours, he asked his disciples if they could just watch and pray 1 hour, and when he came back out, when I read those words, you can almost hear the hurt in his voice when he says, couldn't you just watch and pray 1 hour? And I know, I realized at that moment, Jesus really needed his disciples to be there for him in his trying hour. And I see us, we're now at the end of time, and Christ needs his disciples again in this last hour.
Yeah.
Well, I could go on about that forever. But you know what? Then I came back to the U.S. and, well, reality set in and I saw the news. And Pastor Carl, I know you're very familiar with what's going on in the news. And so tonight's program I have titled Baal Worship, Apostasy, and Revival. And we're going to dig into that. I know, Pastor Carl, I want to get into a recent article that you had written in WorldNet Daily. But as soon as I just get ready, you know, thinking, okay, I know what I want to have Pastor Carl come on talk. Then I read something about all these witches, you know, coming together, and a call for all the witches around to pray against our current president. And I think, Pastor Carl, you've been addressing that too, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I've addressed that in print and on radio and on television, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, the Lord has given me a big platform, and I'm using it to address all of this. Brother, we're living in the most profoundly prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ, Pastor Frank.
Well, we are that. And so, Pastor Carl, what's going on? I mean, what has changed? I can never remember anything like this in past history of any presidential elections happening. Yeah. Witches are being called out to cast curses?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking to somebody just on another interview earlier today, and I said, you know, I don't remember witches getting together casting curses on the last president any time in the last 8 years. You know, and I'm not trying to be disparaging necessarily towards the last president. I'm just saying, isn't it amazing? So we look at, they are panicking. The left is panicking. The socialists are panicking. The communists are panicking. The globalists are panicking. The witches are panicking. The Satan worshipers are panicking over what? Over Donald Trump. Well, you know, what does he represent that makes all of the demonic in hell panic? What does he represent? Well, you know, listen, guys, I want you to know, yes, I did open his rally. Yes, I did endorse him early. But I have always made it clear, I do not put my trust in a man. I do not think Donald Trump is the savior of America. I know that he's got some questionable things in his life. I get that. The bottom line is, though, he stands for some things that are eternally important. And if you don't believe it, look what the powers of hell are doing right now. He stands for, first of all, he is at least a friend to the church. There are people that know him, who claim they've ministered to him, who claim that he has given his life to Christ. I pray so. If that's true, he's a very baby Christian, but that's okay. We didn't call him to be the pastor-in-chief. We called him to be the commander-in-chief and the CEO. He's the kind of guy you'd want to, you know, follow in the battle. I mean, he's a president. He's a, in Old Testament terms, he's a king of a nation, if you will. So I get that. But the point is that even though, you know, we don't look to him as a savior, could it be that God has his hand on this man and is using him to do something very prophetic here? Because we do know that Donald Trump has picked for his vice president a man who claims very boldly to be a Jesus-loving, spirit-filled, church-going, unashamed, Bible-believing Christian. And he has also surrounded himself with a council of faith leaders, Christians, mainly evangelicals. And so this is just astounding. I mean, the last president didn't do it. The president before him didn't do that. So this is pretty amazing. So in the meantime, what does he stand for? He stands for stronger border, stronger military, stronger economy, rule of law, a Supreme Court and constitutionalism that is America. He stands for the founding principles of our nation, Judeo-Christian foundation. He's a friend to the church. He's not an enemy of the church. He's not looking to target the church. He stands against abortion. He stands against this transgender bathroom order that was an atrocity. I mean, on and on. So when you look at what he's standing for, I don't know if he'll stay there forever. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But today, those are the things he's standing for, guys, and those are the things that Satan is throwing a fit. We're watching Ephesians 6:10 right before our eyes. Guys, don't you agree?
Mm. Amen. Wow. You know, it's interesting. You know, I've had such mixed feelings at times over Donald Trump and you know, from things he said to the, you know, 2 Corinthians, that always kind of troubled me a little bit. But you know what, Pastor Carl, when I see all the hordes of hell coming, you know, Satan doesn't try to cast out Satan. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
And so when I see all these witches and everything coming together to cast spells, they're not going to do that against their own. Now, I'm not saying he's perfect in anything, but when I see all that, to me, that's a flag that, you know what, he's doing something that's getting under some very evil and demonic people's skin.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Frank, listen, you know, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, you've spoken my heart. I mean, there are things he says and does and said and has done and probably will do that gets under my skin. No doubt about it. There are some areas of his plank and platform that I've been concerned about. For example, when he was running just before the general election, he made some comment about the transgender bathroom order that led me to believe he was going to let it stand. And I thought, oh my gosh, how horrible that would be. Well, you know, here we are just in the last couple of days. He's issued an executive order rescinding it. So that's amazing. Thank God. I mean, but it's up and down. I know he's rough around the edges. He speaks sometimes and I cringe. But I'm like you, though, Pastor Frank. I'm watching what's happening in the spiritual realm, and I'm saying just what you said. Satan's not going to fight himself. Satan is fighting Donald Trump and everything he stands for. He's fighting him. This is demonic. It is spiritual. Anybody who can't see this or anybody who's listening to us laughing at this, all I can say is you do not have the Holy Spirit of God in you, because if you do, you can see the spiritual realm, the spiritual battle. Listen, I've never witnessed anything like this in my life. In a presidential election, look, the Middle East is imploding. Russia and China are in the Middle East with military troops. They've aligned themselves with Iran, ancient Persia. Turkey is imploding into an Islamic caliphate. Israel has been in the center fire for 8 years of our last administration. Now there's a man in office, Donald Trump. See, that's another reason the demons are going crazy. He's a friend to Israel. And I'm telling you guys, there are three big things you don't do. You don't stick your finger in the face of God with these three things. You don't mess with Israel. Don't slaughter babies and throw them to the fire of Moloch and Baal. And you do not degrade sexuality to the point of radical homosexuality and legalize gay marriage. Well, brother, America has done all three things. And in steps Donald Trump, who has already addressed two of them head on, and he said, I am going to do something about this abortion thing, and then he says, I'm going to be a friend to Israel, and then a couple of days ago he said, and I'm not going to subject our children to radical homosexuality, and I'm going to do something about it. So really, he's addressed all three things, and look what has happened. Witches all over the world, not just in America, not just in New York City or Chicago or Atlanta or Los Angeles or San Francisco, all over the world using social media and the technology of our day, they are praying against Donald Trump tonight and doing seances and casting spells. They hate him. The globalists hate him. And by the way, the globalist agenda is the agenda of the Antichrist. I mean, it is demonic. And so he stands polar opposite. Again, I'm not saying he's the savior of America. I'm not saying he's the epitome of biblical model. I'm just saying that for whatever reason, God has raised him up. He's put his hand on him. He's a man's man. He's an alpha male. He's a friend to the church. He's got a heart for the things of God. At least he says he does, and he surrounds himself with people who do. He's taking stands that no politician in my lifetime has ever taken. I mean, all of these things I just said, plus he just the other day called the fake mainstream media the enemy of America's people. And you know what? He's right. Now, he's being castigated, but he took an oath to defend you and me against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And so he's looking at this propaganda machine of this socialist, globalist left who are lying to us and who have been lying to us for decades. They've ramped it up now that we've got internet and social media, and along comes Donald Trump and calls them out for it. And calls them fake and then declares them to be the enemy of America. I'm telling you guys, we are watching a spiritual war of cataclysmic proportions like we have never seen. These are the most profoundly prophetic times in the history of the world since the first coming of Jesus Christ.
Wow. You know, that is 100% right, Pastor Carl. And the interesting thing is that, you know, you look at it in one of the things I want to, you know, talk about is this, you know, what's up with, you know, all of a sudden this resurgent in the pagan god of Baal, because it's very interesting that the Bible always seems to focus around worship and who you worship. And it seems to me like Donald Trump right now, with some of his executive orders and everything, when it comes to abortion and things like that, he's affecting their worship, because Baal was about child sacrifice, and sexual immorality. And you've addressed some of this just recently on WorldNet Daily. And I was wondering if we could go in about this, because I think what you're talking about is he's angered people and he's offended their worship.
Yeah. Well, let me just put it like this. Baal worship, B-A-A-L, most of your listeners will know all about this and will know more than I'm going to get to share in this brief radio program, but some of your listeners, this will be the very first time, so let me go to the basic level first. Baal worship, B-A-A-L, that comes from an ancient Aramaic Hebrew word that basically just means master or lord. In the original Hebrew, it could be used for husband. It just means the head of something, the ruler of something, but it became known among the Hebrews as a word for the ultimate God who stands against Yahweh, the ultimate master, the ultimate Lord, the ultimate ruler over the people against Yahweh. So it's one of the most ancient of pagan worship. He has been known, Baal has been known under many names down through the years through different cultures, but Baal is the oldest worship of any idol form or God form against Yahweh himself. Now, knowing that, we go into the New Testament, and we hear Paul speak of Baal worship. He quotes Old Testament, but we also hear Baal's name changed to Beelzebub, which is Baal plus the word Zebub, which means Lord of the Flies, literally, but it loosely translates into English as Lord of Filth, the Lord of Filth, the filthy one, the one who brings filth to the world, Beelzebub. And we hear that term used dozens of times in the New Testament. Even the Pharisees called Jesus. They said he was Beelzebub and that he was working his miracles in the power of Beelzebub. And that's when Jesus said, but a house divided will not stand. If Satan's casting out demons, then he's destroying his own house. But if I'm casting out demons, then I'm working against him. And so we find this Old Testament, New Testament, we find it in ancient history, but it's also right in our midst today, because Baal is none other than Satan. And in the New Testament, even the ancient Pharisees identified Beelzebub, Lord of the Filth, with Satan himself. And they knew that when a person was dancing around some kind of idol, see, we laugh at that in our enlightened culture, but there are cultures around the world that do that. But in America, we don't dance around an idol and sacrifice our children. Instead, we just go ahead and sacrifice our children on the idol of convenience, on the altar of convenience, some 60 million babies we've slaughtered, and we sit in front of our television sets and our computer screens and our movie theaters, and we watch the homosexual acts and the sexual perversion acts, we're entertained by it, which is the same thing that happened in front of the Baal idols of ancient Israel. They committed all kinds of sexual perversion. People either engaged in it with them, or they sat around on the edges and watched it and enjoyed it that way vicariously. And they offered their children up to the altar of Baal. They engaged in all kinds of filth. And so, the more secular a society goes, the more we worship our entertainers, the more we worship sexual perversion, the more we sit in front of a computer screen and ogle over pornography, the more we support the abortion of millions of little children, it is nothing more than a modernized Baal worship. And so we are immersed in that because we're living in prophetic times, guys. Israel has returned to the land. The nations of Ezekiel 38 in the Middle East are aligning against her even now. Baal is being worshipped in the largest Christian nation on the planet has ever seen, the United States of America. We've decided we don't know what a marriage is anymore. We've decided we don't know what a gender is anymore. We've decided that blatant radical homosexuality is an accepted thing. We've decided that we could kill 60 million children on the altar of convenience. We've decided that we will entertain ourselves with all manner of filth. That is nothing more, nothing less than Baal worship immersed in the United States of America. And it is now pervasive throughout the world thanks to the internet.
Well, you know, what's interesting now is that this renewed interest amongst world leaders. So we see it already been embedded in our society in the forms of abortion and homosexuality and just, you know, an utter depravity of sexual practices. And now I never thought the day would come, Pastor, that we would actually see article after article of people actually having, you know, relations with their own animals. I mean, how much more bizarre can we get today? But as thing as Pastor Jonathan Kahn had and WorldNet Daily had some a while back, it was talking about that statue of Baal that did its tour around. And now you recently also talked about the reconstruction of the Arch of Palmyra that was happened over with the World Government Summit. It seems like the world leaders are just embracing this whole Baal worship.
Yeah. Well, no, listen, you're absolutely right. And that's step two. That's chapter two of what I wanted to talk about tonight. Chapter one, I just spoke of, and thank you for setting up chapter two. So now that everybody understands chapter one, you know, the historical aspect and how it is pervasive in our own culture, even though we're more modernized and we don't have some kind of wooden or golden idol that we call Baal, the spirit of Baal is among us. Well, now we're living in the age of the most advanced technological ability for communication, information, transportation system the planet has ever seen. Most of it has come to pass in just the past decade or so. It has burst upon the scene. The whole world communicates together. Now the whole world, quote, sees things together at one time. You know, Daniel in Revelation and John in Revelation talked about the whole world seeing things happen and the whole world taking a mark and the whole world worshiping the beast. Well, you know, when those things were written, people are, well, how can that be? How can that be? But now in our day, we don't even think twice. We know exactly how it can be because we're doing it. We've got the technology. We carry it around in our hands on a cell phone. We can communicate with the world and see everything live as we wish. The whole world can see and know everything. So now what Satan is doing, he's now taking advantage of this. And what you're referring to and what I've been speaking a lot about lately is this. It's a threefold step. So this archway of Baal from Palmyra, Syria, that was destroyed in an ISIS attack, the Temple of Baal and this archway. This archway stood as, if you will, it's the literal doorway, the gateway to the Temple of Baal. In other words, you're walking under, when you walk through that arch, it is symbolically a representation of you are headed to the Temple of Baal. You have walked through the door to bow down at the altar of Baal. Well, that arch was destroyed in some ISIS attacks in 2015. So what did leaders of the world do? They rebuilt it and reconstructed it, and it's an 11-ton reconstructed memorial of the Arch of Baal. Then they decided to take it on a world tour. Now listen to this. The first place they took it was to London, England, the number one financial capital of the world. Now, by the way, this whole ancient pagan worship of Baal, the number one reason people sold their souls to Baal was for financial gain. And then the benefit is all this sexual perversion and child sacrifice and all the filth that went with it, therefore the god of filth. But the main reason they did it was because Baal promised them riches untold and financial success and business success. That goes all the way back to biblical times. And so they took this archway, the doorway to the heart of Baal, to the number one financial capital of the world, London, England. And get this, guys, they unveiled it, Tane, which is the pagan holiday of worshiping Baal. They unveiled the archway on Beltane in London, England in 2016. I think it was in April or May. I don't remember the exact date right now, but it was on the exact day that the pagans around the world worship Baal. They unveiled it. Then they took it from London after it was there for a few months and people were oogling and ogling over it. They took it to New York City in September of 2016. Well, what's important about New York City? Number one, it's the number two financial capital of the world. Number two, it's the place of the Islamic terrorist attacks. When? In September. And number three, it's the home of the United Nations, the globalist organization of the world. And they unveiled it there. Where did they unveil it? Right, just in a stone's throw from ground zero and right outside the face of City Hall. And what did the assistant mayor of New York City proclaim about the memorial? They proclaimed, this is a memorial that represents freedom. Now, when we first hear that word in America, we're Americana, you know, we think freedom. Yes, sir, America, freedom. Okay, you know, okay, the Arch of Bale represents freedom. Wait, freedom? Wait, that's not a flag. That's not the Statue of Liberty. What do you mean it represents freedom? Well, that assistant mayor spoke correctly. Bale represented freedom from Yahweh and represented the freedom to engage in any kind of filth you wanted to engage in. So the mayor literally declared what Bale worship has been declaring for thousands of years. If you'll bow at my altar, you will have freedom, and I will bless you financially. And you can sacrifice your children in the name of convenience, and the more children you sacrifice to me through the fires of Molech and the fires of Baal, I will bless you. You can engage in sexual perversion. And so they unveiled it in New York right about the time of the anniversary of 9/11, right outside Ground Zero, and declared it to be a memorial of freedom. But that's not all, guys. Just last week, they took it from New York and they took it to Dubai. What's important about Dubai? Dubai, number one, is the economic capital of the Middle East, and several big economic indicators have recently published articles declaring that it is the economic gateway between Africa and Asia. And number two, it is last week the home of the World Government Summit, which was started in 2013. And the number one sponsor of it is the United Nations, also the World Bank, and all kinds of globalist media, Al Jazeera, CNN, you can go down the list, most of them Islamic and or extremely liberal. And they took that Baal worship arch and they used the unveiling of the Arch of Baal to be the official opening of the World Government Summit in Dubai last week. So, guys, you know, I mean, I could go on and on with this. People might be listening to me saying, well, you know, you're making too much out of it. Those are just coincidences. No, they're not. Every one of these were planned by the people who were taking this 11-ton memorial around the world. Here's the deal, guys. Baal is taking a world tour. And the whole world is watching it happen, just like the Bible said. It is Satan's memorial, his idol image, on tour before the financial capitals of the world at exacting moments of very, very profound, biblical, demonic, globalist things. And the whole world is watching it. And this is we're the first generation in the history of the world to have the technology to be able to see it together like this. I didn't have to go to Dubai to see it. I could watch it. I didn't have to go to New York or London. I could watch it. The whole world could. So guys, I'm telling you, Satan is on parade. He is in your face. All the powers of hell are coming against America. They're coming against the rule of law. They're coming against our borders. They're coming against our president. They're coming against the church. Baal is on the rise. We're looking at the rise of the Antichrist, perhaps in our own lifetime, and or the rapture of the church, depending upon one's eschatological scheme. But the bottom line is we're living, may I say it again, in the most profoundly prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus Christ.
You know, Pastor, it's interesting. It kind of, you know, being a form, you know, a Marine, you know, myself, of course, there's no such thing as a former Marine. But, you know,
yeah.
Being the place where George Washington dedicated this country on his knees there in that little church by Ground Zero. And, yep. And then to bring this, you know, the arches back for Baal, you know, the temple, the entrance into his temple, and then to in a way kind of rededicated there, it just smacks in the face of God.
Yes.
And so when you say people, you know, they may hear this and they're like, well, what does that matter? No. There's a reason why they brought it to the area where they brought it at Ground Zero. That was not an accident.
Yes. It's witchcraft, brother. It's witchcraft. They're claiming territory. Baal is claiming London, New York, Dubai. And in claiming London, New York, and Dubai, he is claiming symbolically the capital, the economic capitals of the world. He's claiming the globalist capitals of the world. He's claiming the world government councils of the world, and he claimed them on very specific dates. This is being done on purpose. Yes, you can call it symbolic. But it is a prayer, it is a demonic witchcraft prayer walk is what he's doing.
And it is, and unfortunately, this is what has infiltrated our institutions, our young people, and it's really this whole God of prosperity. Because if you say anything that hinders someone's prosperity, or you do something that may offend their prosperity, then all of a sudden, you know, as they call them, these snowflakes, everybody's upset, and everybody's, you know, they can't stand this and that, because anything that hinders someone's prosperity today, it's just, you know, people freak out over it, and it really. What it is, just Baal worship throughout our institutions, throughout the world leaders. And if this is not a wake-up call to the hour that we live in, Pastor, I don't know, unless God, you know, for some people, I guess he would just have to write it in the sky. Hey, folks, I'm coming soon. Wake up.
Yeah. Well, that's why I wrote my book, When the Lion Roars, and the premise of it is, the lion is roaring. Wake up. He's coming soon. I don't set dates. I'm not a hand wringer. I'm not a sensationalist. I was a cop, an investigator for 10 years. I think like a cop. I've been a pastor for 35 years, preaching and teaching the word all over the world. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not claiming that I'm correct with every little jot and tittle of my theology and understanding of every particular scripture, but I know what I'm talking about. We are living in profoundly prophetic times. Baal is on the rise, and we're watching this unfold before us. Now think of this. The scripture also says that in the last days, you know, that Elijah would prepare the way before the Lord. Well, of course, we know in the first coming of Christ, Jesus identified John the Baptist as working in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way. But in the last days, it's also thought that somehow the spirit of Elijah would come again. Some people say, well, that's one of the two witnesses in Israel, Jerusalem, etc. Maybe, but think of this. In the days of Ahab and Jezebel, what was the prevailing religion of the day? Oh, yeah, Baal worship. And what was it that Elijah had to do? He had to stand against the prophets of the Baal. Well, what was it that Baal was promising the people? Financial prosperity, entertainment. And by the way, when you would go to a Baal worship service, it would always start with the singers and dancers who had become popular and famous among the people. They were idolized as we idolize our movie stars and sports heroes. So people would go, they would be entertained by singers and dancers that everybody knew and everybody idolized. Then they would be entertained by these massive sexual orgies, which really featured homosexuality. Then they would further entertain themselves by the offering of child sacrifices as they listened to little children screaming as they were being burned alive in the face of Baal. That's what was happening. And Elijah was doing the same thing that you and I are doing right now, guys. He just didn't have radio and blog talk and internet. But he was using whatever pulpit God gave him to speak the very same things we're speaking. And Ahab brought him before his throne and said, are you the troubler of Israel? You're that guy who's disturbing everybody's. You're not politically correct, Elijah. You're melting our snowflakes. You're crushing our marshmallows. You're making everybody uncomfortable. You're that disturber of Israel. Well, brother, that's the spirit of Elijah, and I'm walking in it tonight. You guys are walking in it tonight, and we're facing down the idol of Baal, which is taking a world tour and claiming his territory as we speak.
Well, Pastor, it seems to me, and I know some people might get a little upset at this, but it seems to me like this whole Baal worship has unfortunately become a part of many churches' worship services. And it reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar when he said to him, you know, to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when you shall hear the sound of the sackbut and the psaltery and the cornet and all these things, then you will fall down and worship this golden idol. And unfortunately, it seems like today that this Baal worship has infiltrated churches where they're, you know, while the music's hip, it's great. And if I can get you jazzed up and fired up enough on this great, fantastic music, then maybe you'll fall down and worship. And now, Pastor, I love amazing music. We were just in Africa, and I'll tell you what, the music over there, oh, it's unbelievable. And you feel God's presence, and it's lively. But I feel like this spirit of Baal has entered into our churches in the very way that people are doing worship. And I don't want to get off on a sidetrack, but have you experienced the same things?
Yes, sir. In fact, the whole time you're talking, I'm just, things are going through my mind, and I don't even know where to begin. It would all be anecdotally. But I can remember one of the most jarring experiences I ever had of seeing exactly what you're talking about. I'm going to be very gracious, and I'm not going to mention any names of the pastor or the church or the entertainer, but I was watching on Christian television one Sunday. This was 10 years ago. I was homesick, sick as a dog, and so I said, well, I'm going to watch something. So I tuned in to this church that I thought was a good, solid, fundamental conservative church. The pastor gets up, and it's a mega church. And there happened to be a Hollywood entertainer in the audience that day. He stopped and pointed to this entertainer and acknowledged his presence. And in the middle of a worship service supposed to be dedicated to Jesus Christ, the crowd went wild. You'd have thought that they were at a rock concert adoring this entertainer. He stood up and waved and waved and waved. You'd have thought he was in a parade. My jaw was on the ground. I couldn't believe what I was watching, but it got worse. Then this pastor, who was at the time just known from coast to coast in the United States, asked the guy up on stage, gave him a guitar, because he's famous for playing guitar, and said, play something for us. And the guy got up and sang one of his songs that was pure godless. And it was in a Sunday morning worship service in a conservative evangelical church, televised to the world. When that entertainer started singing that song, sing along with it as though they were at a rock concert, the pastor's face went blood red. He realized what he had done. After it was all over, the pastor got up and apologized sheepishly for it and went on and tried to preach a sermon. But, brother, it was horrific. And when you were talking about it just then, that made me think of it, how quick we are to idolize entertainers, to bring it into the church and normalize it and try to pretend like that somehow God's going to bless that. And brother, it is nothing but this old form of Baal worship. Satan will look for any way he can to come into a worship service and steal the glory of Jesus Christ.
Wow. You know, and it's interesting. That's kind of a great place because, you know, Pastor Carl, I heard a few weeks ago in a program that you had did, and I think I'd like you to address this a little bit more on tonight's program, because it is something that many people have heard, and you know, this whole debate on, you know, the Bible talks about there's coming an apostasy, a great falling away. And we know that in the last days, there will be a famine in the land, and people will be running all over trying to find a true word from the Lord. And we see that today. And then we hear the other side of the fence say, oh no, great revival is coming here. God's going to do amazing things. You're going to be absolutely shocked. And I think sometimes people are sitting back and scratching their heads, and there's like, well, which one is it? And so,
thank you.
I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yes, I'd be honored. Thank you for asking me. Well, my answer to the question, which one is it? My answer is, biblically, it's both happening simultaneously in the last days. And here's what I mean, because there's no doubt about it. The Word of God speaks of a great apostasy, a great falling away. in the last days. Of course, during the time of Great Tribulation, but even before then, I mean, before the Antichrist is revealed, the Bible says that the Antichrist won't be revealed until after the apostasy really sweeps the land. So we know that that's going to happen. But yet at the same time, we're also told about in Joel and repeated again in Acts, and of course that came to pass in the birth of the church, but also the understanding from most conservative scholars is this outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the last days would also be indicative. So is it happening? Well, actually, we're watching it happen right now. We just don't realize it because most Christians in America, we think that everything in the Bible is centered around America. You know, we think it's all about us. It is not. I mean, yes, the church, yes, and America is the largest Christian nation on the planet since the birth of Christianity, yes. God has blessed us and used us, yes. Our foundation is Judeo-Christian, yes. But the Bible's not written about America. It's written about the Middle East and Israel, the beginning and the end, everything right there. It does, of course, record what's going to happen amongst the nations in the last days and the Antichrist who will rule the nations for a while and cause the earth to worship him, yes. But the Bible, if you look at it through American eyes only, you're going to miss what's happening. And so what I tell people, here's what's happening. The apostasy is already beginning to happen in America, and it's happening quickly. What do you mean, Brother Carl? Well, 20 years ago, over 90% of America's population, anytime you polled them, you could line any 10 people up against a wall anywhere in America, and 9 of them would identify themselves as Christian. Now, you and I know that doesn't mean they're born-again, spirit-filled, Jesus-loving Christians, but what it means is they would say, basically they were saying, well, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not an atheist. I'm not an agnostic. I'm not a Hindu. You know, I'm not a star worshiper. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Well, you and I know that doesn't make them a born-again believer. But the point is, 90% of the people in America would say, I am a Christian. 20 years later, here we are, 2017, it's 70% or less. We've lost 20% in 20 years, 10% a year going down. And now we've got research coming out that the younger generation, the millennials behind us, they're falling out like flies right now. So we're watching this. Now, at the same time, all the statistics indicate that China is slated to be the largest Christian nation on the planet by the year 2030, just a dozen years from now. Yet they are in underground churches right now being threatened by their government every day. But millions and millions and millions of Christians in China are leading millions and millions of others to the Lord Jesus Christ under the threat of going to jail and or losing their lives. We also know even Al Jazeera had to report this, and this is documented in my book. Your listeners can pick up my book, When the Lion Roars. I've got all the documentation there from mainstream sources. Even Al Jazeera, 2 years ago, had to report that over 6 million Muslims a year are coming to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That was their words, and that's in Africa alone. But there are many millions of more that are coming to Christ all over the world. On top of that, there are tens of thousands of Orthodox Jews around the world who are coming to Christ continually. There's several hundred thousand that are now born-again believers around the world, many thousands of them in Israel. There are secret meeting rooms in Israel, in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem. You can get Zev Perat, if he's already talked about it, if he hasn't already talked about it, get him to tell you. In those cities, in Israel, there are Jews coming to Christ, and there are many, many thousands of Jews who are believers in Jesus, but they're not yet to the point where they're willing to say it publicly because it'll cost them everything. And they don't understand that discipleship angle yet. It's just like the old New Testament days. I mean, it's just like the New Testament days of old that, you know, that they would lose everything. They would lose family, friends, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. That's what Jesus told them. And so this is all happening. I mean, Muslims and Jews and the Chinese underground and their people are coming to Christ by the millions. There's a great awakening. There's a great revival. Even in America, while the apostasy is happening, there are many people in America who are waking up and they're seeing what's happening and they're coming to Christ in a real way. The sad thing is There are a lot of people sitting in pews, been playing church for years, for decades and decades, for generations and generations, going through the motions, and then living at the altar of Baal all week long. Mm. That's the apostasy. So both things are happening at once, brother. They're happening together simultaneously, and they're happening because we're living in the days of the end. I don't set dates. I don't know when that means, but I know it's coming soon.
Pastor, have you ever heard of the Back to Jerusalem movement from China?
A little bit. That does ring a bell. And Zev and I have talked about some things that might relate to that. But please educate me, enlighten me.
Basically, where a lot of the Chinese have believed that the persecution that they've suffered over the last 50 plus years, the intense persecution, that God has actually been preparing the Chinese to take the gospel back to Jerusalem, not actually into Jerusalem, but on the old Silk Roads between China and Jerusalem, which goes through the Arab nations, the most gospel depraved places, you know, except for North Korea on the planet. And so the Chinese are literally willing to lay down their lives to bring the gospel back these old Silk Roads to the Arabs. Now you're right. We view the Bible like we're America. That's it. And we were like, well, you mean the Chinese are actually going to evangelize the Arabs? And we're actually in shock. You know, folks, there are believers out there who are going to take, they're preparing. God is using people all over the place. And the Back to Jerusalem movement, it's amazing stuff.
The more you talked, the more familiar I became with it. I don't know nearly as much about it as you do, but I have heard those reports, and Zev and I have talked a little bit about that. So that is amazing, and that's not surprising to me at all. That's not a shocking thing. I mean, I see it. You see the revival in Africa. I see it in South America. We're reading about it in China. You know, we're reading about it in the Muslim nations. We know about it in amongst Orthodox Jews. It's America. It's Europe. Where Christianity was first birthed and burgeoned. Well, it wasn't birthed in Europe, but that's where it burgeoned in Europe, and then brought to the shores of America. And from there, the greatest Christian nation the planet's ever seen. But now all of that is in decline. And you know, I don't know. Maybe with the Trump presidency and his focus on the things of God, maybe the church will breathe new life and kind of come to life in America in these last days. I don't know. All I know is the powers of hell are terrified at what's happening. They hate Donald Trump. They hate America. They hate the church. Baal is being ushered around, and people are slipping away, falling away, denying the faith. But at the same time, millions and millions and millions are coming to the faith in China, amongst the Muslims, amongst the Jews. So both of those things are happening at the same time. It's very, very spiritual times.
And it's very interesting, Pastor. I think you talk about it in your book, that God is bringing Muslims to Christ without even an evangelist, without even a preacher, without even someone. He's given them dreams and visions. And I realize God doesn't even actually really need us. Thank goodness He loves us and wants us, but He certainly doesn't need us. And you share this in your book, don't you, about how God's reaching people even without a person or an evangelist or a Christian to be there. He's doing it himself.
Yes, I do write about that, and please forgive me for interrupting. We've got a little bit of a delay, so every time I think you're finished, I start to talk, and I'm sorry.
No problem.
Okay, I do write about that. And in case people are kind of, you know, scratching their heads or rolling their eyes, please remember, think of the Apostle Paul. I mean, he didn't need an event. He was on his way to kill Christians. He was on his way to destroy the church. And the Lord appeared to him in whatever you want to call it, a vision. He saw the resurrected Lord and drove him to his knees, to his face, blinded him. And 3 days later, he got up and was baptized and surrendered his life to Christ. And I'm sure that was a heck of a 3 days for him. I'm sure he was just writhing in conviction and pain as he was wondering what is happening to me. He didn't, it was no evangelist. Finally, of course, one was sent to him. But the point being, We are called to be the evangelist. We are called to be the salt and the light. We are called to be the witnesses to the world. And shame on us if we don't go where God opens the door for us to go. Shame on us. The Lord will hold us accountable. But the bottom line is, the Lord doesn't need us. He's not wringing his hands in heaven saying, oh my gosh, I can't get Carl and Brother Frank to go. What am I going to do? No, he's allowing Brother Frank and Brother Carl to go. He's allowing us to be a part of his kingdom work. But if Brother Frank and Brother Carl won't go, the Lord will reach whoever he wants, however he wants. He will have his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does that make sense?
Hallelujah for that. You know, Pastor, you know, last time we mentioned, and we've talked about it just a little bit tonight, but why don't you just hit briefly on your book, When the Lion Roars, and because I know that I had even people come talk to me after the last time you're on the program, they got your book. And in your book, you talk about a lot of the things we've kind of covered in a very broad way. And it's not just a book that it's that, you know, it's only for, you know, Baptists or only for Methodists. This is a book that's for anybody.
For God's people and even people that don't believe. I mean, an unbeliever can pick it up. It's not preachy, but it's biblically solid and it is not denominational. I don't really deal with a particular eschatological theme. And listen, I have no problem discussing eschatology with people, the timing of the rapture, what I think. But I know, you know, it could be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, and all these different things. I don't get into that. What I do with this book, it's unlike any prophetic book that's out there on the market dealing with prophecy. My interest was to just say, look, let's just start with the return of Israel. I mean, that's less than 70 years. I mean, brother, we did all we had was black and white television back then, and not every home had one. And now, look where we are in less than one generation. Oh, my gosh, I can't even name the technological things that are happening in the areas of information, communication, transportation, and in the areas of what could be cool research but's going to wind up being demonic and transhumanism and genetic splicing and CRISPR-Cas9 and human engineering and mixing animals with humans. And I mean, all of this is happening. It's unfolding at lightning speed. And so what I wanted to do was to take the Bible and what it says about what would be the accompanying signs of the last days before the return of Christ, really starting with the return of Israel, and then take headline news out of the technology sites, the science sites, the history sites, the military sites, the mainstream media headline news, and just let's look and say what's going on in the world. And so what we find is Israel's back, yes. Israel's strong, yes. It's a nuclear superpower, yes. But it's surrounded by enemies. The Middle East has imploded. Arab Spring has happened. Syria has gone into an irrecoverable civil war. Russia has planted itself there. Russia has aligned with Iran. China has come, planted itself there. Military troops, wars, Christianity being exterminated, tens of thousands of refugees, hundreds of thousands, millions of refugees, Turkey imploding into an Islamic caliphate, borders collapsing in America, borders collapsing in Europe, and on I could go. The largest Christian nation deciding that it doesn't know what marriage is anymore, and on and on and on it goes. Now the tour of Baal, the worship of Baal, world tour, globalist meetings everywhere, all over the world, trying to usher in this Antichrist globalist agenda. Finally, we get a man in the White House who says, look, I'm a friend of the church, and the demons in hell are going crazy and praying against him tonight as we speak. I mean, brother, we are living in prophetic times, and that's what this book is about. It is meant to wake up the church. Look what's happening, look where we're living. And it ends very positively, giving Christians and today's church the marching orders how to live and what we are to do.
Oh, amen for that. Folks, you've heard it here tonight. The everything that the devil can throw, he's throwing right now. And if you agreed, you voted for Donald Trump, or if you didn't, you should still pray for our president. Because right now, if the devil is coming against him, remember, if you're a believer, the devil is our enemy. Okay. And if he's bringing out all his troops to come against our president, the least we could do is pray and intercede that God would somehow stop this, put a shield, a hedge of protection around our president so that he could make clear decisions. Look, Donald Trump, we don't know how long he's going to be in there. We don't know what the end of his presidency. It may be the best thing since sliced bread. It may go south. But in the end, when the devil's coming against it, we need to stand there and pray that God would give our president godly wisdom and the knowledge of what to do in these earth closing hours. And Pastor Carl, thank you for enlightening us tonight on really what's going on the global stage of the spirit of Baal worship. This whole, we've seen the prosperity movement. It's been there for years, but now the actual ugly head is showing itself publicly. And I want to just say thank you for sharing that with us tonight, Pastor Carl.
Well, listen, it's been my pleasure to be with you guys. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope we've brought something good to the table for your listeners to contemplate and to pray about. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Pastor Carl, and I appreciate that. It's been a real blessing. And, you know, I just think that tonight we need to just close out with a word of prayer, and not a word, only a word of prayer, but God. Todd, I would just ask if you could just pray that God would motivate us as believers to get out and do something for him and stop warming these pews. There's a war going on. God needs warriors, not bench warmers, but warriors in this last hour as we close out the program tonight.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Lord, I pray that you impress everyone under the sound of our voices tonight that it is go time. This is the fourth quarter. There's about 2 minutes left, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, but the thing about it is we know who wins. The problem about it, Lord, is we don't have the strength always to be on the winning side. So we need you, Lord, to do it for us. Be with us. Convict those who need convicting, Lord. Impress those who you're calling strongly. Don't let them sleep. Don't let us sleep, Lord.
Amen.
If you want us to go out, Lord, there's so much to lose. There's souls at stake here, Lord. Don't let us sleep until we've answered your call. God, we all can't have a Paul experience, but to each his own, and we know that you are no respecter of persons. Thank you, Lord, for your infinite wisdom and your grace and your love. Thank you, Lord, for all your provisions. And in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Brother Todd. Pastor Carl, may God bless you and protect you with his mighty warring angels, with a hedge of protection that the devils cannot get through as you continue to take this good news out to this dying world in these last few moments of Earth's history, Pastor. And with that, I would just say, God bless you. And this is Brother Frank and Brother Todd from the Remnant Call saying good night and shalom.
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 For the Lord of God.